This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
It begins with water. It seems it always begins with water, this fundamental source of all life. The very first sentence in our sacred story, where it all begins, is in Genesis. In the beginning, when God created all the heavens and the earth was formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. It all begins with water. And for those of you who have been hanging around St. David's for the last 20 years, you know that water is how our relationship with the Anglican Diocese of Southern Malawi began here at St. David's. 20 years ago, the then Bishop James Tangatanga, who had been a member of this parish while he was in seminary, he was in fact married here, invited his friends from St. David's to come see what the Lord is doing in Malawi. Don't come on a mission trip, come on a pilgrimage. Come and see what God is doing. And while you're here, maybe you can help us solve a problem. We need to get clean, fresh water into one remote village in Malawi. So our pilgrims gathered, and several of them were engineers. They studied the geological surveys of the lower Shira River. Jet lag is a real thing. They studied the geological surveys of the lower Shira River, and they figured out how to put water in the one village. And they saw all the other amazing things that God was doing in Malawi. Then it was one borehole, which is a hand-pumped water well. Then it was two, then it was three. And over the years now, there are 17 boreholes in remote villages in Malawi. And while we were there just this past week, I met with the diocesan executives and with Tom Gephardt, who is one of the geologists, one of the water engineers who put all these boreholes in, talking to the government about how to get a borehole at the diocesan office. It is a city of 1 million people, and they do not have a reliable water source in the middle of that city. Can we drill a well right here? So water is still the source of all the things. It's where it all begins. But while we were there, we toured around and we saw, and we met with committees, and we toured around and we saw all the different things that Warm Heart International has begun to do in the Diocese of Texas, and one reading group in Richmond, Virginia, that belongs to my little sister, Christy Somerville. So we toured, we saw boreholes, we saw water wells, we talked about the feeding programs that we have been part of, we have talked about the microloan programs, where we loan money to small businesses so women can begin to make a living in these remote villages. And then we started talking about girls' education in Malawi, which you have been hearing us talk about most recently. And the way we learn about that is because of these long relationships that have been going on between the people in Malawi and the people in Austin. And so at one point we said, you need to come and see what the Lord is doing in Austin, Texas. And so a group of seven pilgrims from Malawi came here a few years ago. And they participated at Trinity Center. They participated in worship here. And then they came on a little retreat at a beautiful place in Waco, Texas. And we sat on the banks of a beautiful lake. And I took the men away so the women could actually talk about something really important. The men and I went and played with toys. And these women sat on the back porch. And our women asked their women, how are things really for women in Malawi? And they said, the issue is really younger than that. It's ask us, how are things for girls in Malawi? And they began to talk about period poverty. Period poverty goes on all over the world, and it's in remote villages where there's no water. When girls begin to menstruate, they drop out of school because they have no place to take care of their bodies. And when they drop out of school, they are condemned to go home to 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, forced out of their houses to marry because their families can't feed them. And so they marry, they have children, and they perpetuate this ongoing grinding cycle of poverty, or worse, they're pushed into prostitution because there are no other options. So they said, it's a simple thing. If we could just put in a wash and change room in all six of the Anglican schools in the Diocese of Southern Malawi, and there are rooms where they could just have a little privacy, have a little dignity, and have a bucket of water so they could just take care of their bodies and go back to class, we think it would reduce the dropout rate. Well, our women came home and they told our Warm Heart International Board, and we began to put together a flyer to raise some money for these wash and change rooms. And you all know this story. We raised the money for all of them. They have all been put in. And so while we were there, we got to go see all six wash and change rooms. And not only that, we got to meet 15 girls that you have scholarshiped so they can go all the way through school. There are no free schools in Malawi. They all come with school fees. And so we said, if we can keep these girls in school, give them a way to take care of their bodies, they could graduate, maybe think about university, thus maybe breaking that cycle. So we met these charming 15 little girls, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, who are now on scholarship. And we saw the wash and change rooms. We saw how simple this is. And we were amazed. We were amazed at what the Lord is doing. It was so easy, y'all. It was about $150,000 to put in wash and change rooms in 6 different schools and scholarship 15 girls in residential school all the way through graduation from high school. And so now you will see these videos because there was a professional press team that was following us around and they interviewed these girls. And you will see a video on our website soon of a girl who thought she would have to drop out of school and go home and be married by the time she was 13 years old, who now wants to go to med school. So one of the schools that we went to, it was very clear what happened. There's a chart on the wall of the attendance, all their names and all their ages and how many kids are in school. And it's the girls in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And it starts out, I don't know, 30 girls. And then it was 28 girls and 26 girls and 15 girls and 12 girls. And then, all of a sudden, it's 30 girls. So Christy, my little sister, is a professional educator. She said, what happened here? And they said, that is the day the wash and change rooms opened. So not only did they not drop out, they started coming back to school, and then she followed the chart to the end of the school year, and there were 40 girls in school. So more girls can actually go to school. Just because they had water and a little place with a little privacy. Then we bounced down the road to the remote village that you all have been praying for 15 years, called Mendante. It is a four-wheel drive road, and most people don't have four-wheel drive. We bounced into Mendante, and the first time I saw Mendante, it was the shell of a building that St. James in New York had put in, but then the wheels had kind of come off the project. There were bats literally in the belfry. And now, because you all have gone to see what the Lord is doing in Malawi, there is a pump a mile away. It took these engineers, Malawian engineers and American engineers, a long time to sort this out. There is a pump house a mile away from Mendante that pumps up and runs through solar power uphill into a tank above the clinic in Malawi. Now it is a complete clinic full of medical equipment, fully staffed, staff houses, doctors, nurses. And 2 little babies were born the night before we got there, and we met them in the maternity ward called the Tom Gebhard Maternity Ward. Don't you love that? That is just the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit thinks that's hilarious. That 2 little babies are born to young women in Malawi in a clinic named after an old white guy in Austin, Texas. This is how it works. This is how the Holy Spirit works. when we bring what we have and we just put it on the table and we say, Lord, do something with this, miraculous things happen. And here's the most miraculous thing of all. We went to lots of very formal meetings because it was just the three of us. And so we were meeting with all the committees and the executives that are making all this happen. And each one of those meetings, somebody would congratulate someone else who had done a lot of work on the project. And they would look a little confused. And they would say, oh, no, I just did my part. But actually, she's the one that did all the work. She would go, oh, no, well, I just did my part. But it was actually somebody in the village that did all the work. No one would accept credit for any of this work. And we're in a room with people, and Tom had mentioned that this might have to be his last trip. He's got a couple more planned, but he's had some struggles. And so he mentioned that out loud. And so the folks in Malawi needed to tell him how much they loved him and how grateful they were for his work. So they gushed and cried, and we all cried, and like I'm doing now. And Tom's response was, I don't know why I'm being singled out here. All I did was bring a little skill that I have. I happen to know about water. And look what the Lord has done. Tom says, look what the Lord is doing in Malawi. He most of all is surprised that his name is on a building there. See what happens when we bring what we have to the table and we let go of it? It flows like water. It reminds me of another long-distance plane trip I was on in the 90s. I flew to Israel, and I got on the tour of the Holy Land. It was a clergy tour. They would, you know, they would take clergy, and then the ideas were that you would bring 50 pilgrims back with you. So we called it the Run Where Jesus Walked Tour of the Holy Land. Zoom through all the sites. And we went to the Sea of Galilee, and we watched the Jordan River flow into the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is verdant and beautiful and growing and filled with life. And it feeds and waters this whole community. And then we watched the Jordan River flow out of the Sea of Galilee and down through the Jordan River Valley. And then we followed it to where it flows into the Dead Sea. And there it dies. And the reason is because the Dead Sea is below sea level. And so it takes all that it gets, and it doesn't let anything out. And when we do that, it dies. So apparently the way the Lord works in the world is dependent on us allowing it to flow in and to accept its bounty in our lives and then allow it to flow out. This is what I have seen happen in Malawi. This is what the Lord is doing in Malawi. And the reason it's going so well so quickly is because so many of you, so many people at Warm Heart, so many people in Richmond, so many people in the Diocese of Texas, so many people in Malawi are simply grateful for the gifts that have been handed to them, for the talents that they have, for the bounty that they enjoy, and in whatever level that is, they are enjoying that and then allowing it to flow through and flow into the lives of other people. It is miraculous. It is miraculous what is happening. Today we finish up our section of the book of Revelation, this strange vision that John has about the culmination of the kingdom of God. Today, it says, it is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty, come. Let everyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. See what happens when we allow the water of God's grace to flow into our lives, to fill us, satiate us, satisfy us, and then we leave our hands open and allow it to flow on downstream. It all begins with water. And sometimes it means literally water. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.